During the so-called War of Northern Aggression, the Union struck Fort Sumter in Charleston Harbor. With the economy highly dependent on shipping and receiving goods, the Union blockaded the harbor shortly after the attack on Fort Sumter. The cutoff of this major source of food and other goods left the South devastated for supplies, and between this and the attacks on the city, Charleston was nearly leveled. Perhaps it is for this reason that a Reverend Smith placed an ad in a daily newspaper for a cigar-shaped submarine to be created in order to strike back at this blockade. Over in New Orleans, a wealthy farmer named H.L. Hunley answered the call. However, they ran into some trouble trying to build such a cutting-edge piece of technology. When attempts to make a functional engine light enough that the vessel could resurface after firing failed, the decision was made that the ship should be powered by men with hand cranks. Progress slowed when New Orleans was also overtaken in the war, and the first attempt at a sub had to be scuttled and operations moved to the Big Easy to Mobile, Alabama. The second attempt was not strong enough to power its way through the currents in Mobile Bay, and it sank. While the whole crew escaped, they failed to sink their assigned target, and the mission was considered a failure. Growing short on funds, Hunley knew that his next attempt would likely be his last. It would have to be. He named this last attempt after himself, the H.L. Hunley. This version would be crewed by 8 men, 7 to work the hand cranks and 1 to steer and command. July 31, 1863, the submarine finally had a successful test run. Victory! They shipped the fish boat to Charleston under guard and disguise. On August 29, 1863, during testing, the submarine sank when the driver was climbing into the Hunley and his foot became entangled and caught on a lever used to shut and seal the ship, which was already sinking. In other words, it sank with its top door still open. Just not a great strategy. 5 of the 8 men on board the ship were killed as the submarine bubbled down to the sand. Hunley did not consider this a failure of his modern marvel, though, blaming it instead on human error. He wanted his ship back. This had to work. The men in Charleston had never worked with his submarine before. He needed men with experience, so he summoned those men who had worked on the fish boat in Mobile. He would captain the vessel himself. It did not go according to plan. Rather than gently sinking beneath the smooth, murky water, bubbles roiled and bubbled to the surface. The submarine had a leak. It filled with water and sank to the bottom of Charleston Harbor, where it was stuck in the mud 60 feet below the surface. All 8 men passed away, including Hunley himself. The Confederates decided at this point that it was time to retire the submarine, who was no longer nicknamed the Fish Boat, but was now known as the Iron Coffin. Lieutenant Dixon, however, thought it would that the deadly little boat would be fixed with a new design and a few changes. Up until now, the plan for the ship's primary weapon was to have a large container of black powder hauled behind the Hunley, which would swim along the surface of the harbor, and last minute the ship would dip below the surface and drift under the ship that was its target, causing the floating bomb behind it to explode on impact with the enemy ship while the Hunley safely crept away underwater. How this was responsible for the repeated sinking, I'm not sure, but this was concluded to be what needed to change in order to save the mission. The primary weapon would have to change. The torpedo would still contain 130 pounds of black powder, however, it was a spar torpedo. It was held on a large arm or branch from the side of the submarine in a barbed container. When rammed into the target ship, a barb on the torpedo would gouge it into the hull of the enemy ship. As the submarine pulled away, this would trigger an explosion of the torpedo. If this sounds like explosive underwater jousting to you, you're pretty close to the mark. The fact that this was considered a safety upgrade absolutely blows my mind. This is terrifying, right? Absolutely terrifying. Other modifications included a few thin fins to allow for better movement and a teeny bit more room for the men to do their work on the ship. And I mean teeny. The Hunley was 22 feet long, but it was only 4 feet tall and 3 feet wide. That does not leave much room for 7 fully grown men to operate the hand cranks inside of the sub. By February 1864, the Confederates were sure that the ship had been modified enough to break through the blockade and return critical shipping back to the economy that was suffocating in the South. They didn't aim small. The Hunley chose the Housatonic as its first target, one of the largest ships in the Union. That night, the Hunley slid into the water and crept in silent stealth to the Housatonic. By the time that the Union sailors aboard the ship saw the yellow glow of the submarine portholes, the Hunley was too close to strike with the Housatonic's cannons. The men tried shooting with their service guns, but the Hunley appeared completely unbothered. The Housatonic wrenched hard as the Hunley ran into it, then continued to cruise away. When the glow of the submarine was a few feet away and the Union soldiers were just thinking the worst of the encounter was over, a deafening crash exploded through the air and the mighty ship crumbled apart amid the reek of black powder. Fortunately for the crewmen of the Housatonic, it was low tide at the time, and much of the ship's rigging still stood high over the water, leaving plenty of safe places for the soldiers to cling until help was able to arrive. One of the men noted that a blue light drifted from underwater away from the wreck. He didn't know at the time that this was the Hunley's signal back to Sullivan Island that the mission had been a success. And it was. Sort of. Only 5 of the Union ship's crew of 150 men died in the Hunley's attack. But the giant ship itself had gone down. So, to the men underwater, it must have seemed like a triumph. On Sullivan's Island, everyone was excited about the much-needed success as they waited for the Hunley. And waited. And waited. But it would be 131 years before the Hunley broke the surface again. In the year 2000, the submarine was finally found about 4 miles away from Charleston. Because of the eyewitness account of the blue signal light, we knew that the crew of the Hunley were still alive at the time that the Housatonic exploded. From there are many theories as to why the fishboat never returned to the surface. The sunken vessel was filled with sediment and mud, which preserved much of its contents and passengers. Only the portholes were made of cast iron, and the rest of the ship was wrought iron. A fragment of cast iron was found under one of the portholes, buried deep in levels of sediment. Historians say that this means that the piece broke off around the same time as the sinking and may have caused the leak that would have filled the hole with water. But mysteriously, all of the men in the Hunley stayed in their duty positions even as they passed away, which makes it seem as though the death was too sudden for them to even attempt to make their way to the exit and swim to the surface. Remember, they're only 60 feet under. That's enough to make your ears pop, but it's not going to crush you like if you were, you know, at the bottom of the Marianas Trench or something. Another theory submitted by respiratory doctors is that the men died of carbon dioxide poisoning, which was much more likely than the immediate assumption of oxygen deprivation because of the amount of physical labor involved with cranking the hand cranks to power the ship. They were basically the 7 of them acting as a human engine, and it took enormous manpower. They think that the men may not have been in the best physical condition due to limited resources like nutrition being available with the blockade in force, and it had been in force for quite some time by the time the ship went out. We know that at least one of them was a smoker since a pipe was found within the remains of the submarine. According to the experiment run on the History Channel's Digging for the Truth, the physical exercise involved with moving the whole ship would result in the exhalation of so much carbon dioxide that the men would have been poisoned by it long before the oxygen would run out on the ship. And if no one was aware of the situation, it makes sense that the men would still be in their assigned places in the tightly packed submarine. Either way, it's a theory. And when it comes to the sinking of the H.L. Hunley, theories are all we really have. Thank you so much for tuning in today. With submarines on everyone's mind lately, I thought it was a good time to bring up a submarine that you can visit right here in Charleston. It amazes me that we can successfully send men into space, yet visiting the ocean depths is still a struggle to this very day. The Hunley killed almost 3 times as many men on its own side of the war as it did the enemy. What is it about the ocean that stumps us so? Why can't we seem to understand her? And why are we so drawn to try? Calypso, in Disney's Pirates of the Caribbean, would simply say, "It's in my nature." And perhaps that's the only answer we'll ever get. This episode was sponsored by Lee. I used to laugh at you and my mom running around graveyards after dark, scaring yourselves silly, and now it's my job, and I completely get it. Thank you so much for your support. I honestly had no idea that that option was available on Spotify, so you're pretty amazing. Both podcasting and tour guiding came with a steep learning curve, and I make new discoveries about my kind of self-made job every day. Knowing that you enjoy my work enough to support me is amazing. Next time you visit, I owe you a free tour. Your choice, Magnolia Plantation or the Historic District. Thanks again for your time, and I hope everyone has a wonderful and safe weekend. Please enjoy.